Welcome to Landscape Smart, presented by Radiman Stone and Landscape Company. Call now with all of your landscaping, lawn, and garden questions at 923-1450. Toll free 1-888-900-1450 or airtime free on your U.S. cellular phone at #1450.
And we welcome you to this week's edition of Landscape Smart. 923-1450, heard the numbers. Our advice is always call early so we can get to your question and not run out of time at the end of the program. Joining us this morning, it's the one, the only, Ron Radiman. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning.
And you are it.
Looks like I'm it.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see once.
Yeah. Fake them out.
Well, the master gardeners have done such a good job these last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years, however long they've been helping us out on the show.
It's been a while, yeah.
I've kind of heard some of the answers they've given to our callers over the years, so maybe I can remember them.
Yeah. Well, that's the other challenge. That is. And holiday weekend. Is Radiman's not open today?
Yeah, we're actually closed today and closed Monday also, so this is a little, it kind of gives our employees and staff there a little time to recharge too. It's been a, you know, we're on the pretty much the 6 day a week plan starting already back in whatever, end of March, early mm-hmm. April, whenever we start up and go. So this is their first chance really to have a
little break.
Have more than a Sunday off. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they're doing some special things today, too. So
I would well imagine. But come mm-hmm. Tuesday, you're back open again.
Yeah, Tuesday we'll be back to our regular schedule all the way through until
probably Labor Day.
Labor Day, yeah, which is all of a sudden now, when you're talking Labor Day, you're thinking it's a long way off, and pretty soon once you get this side of the 4th of July, all of a sudden it's coming quick, man.
Yeah, we've got a public service announcement already about back-to-school collections that people are doing. Back-to-school, they just got out.
Yeah.
You got to plan ahead if you're collecting supplies for kids.
Sure.
Yeah. But it just seems strange, you know, it's mm-hmm. 4th of July weekend, and here's this back-to-school thing.
Well, and that's just it. Everybody kind of, you know, they start up with, it seems like once you get on the other side of 4th of July, then it's
downward slide.
It's the back to school, and pretty soon they're advertising, you know, fall promotions and mm-hmm. things like that already. So,
but it's a hot weekend, so probably not a good weekend to be putzing around outside, at least health wise, if for no other reason with the heat and the humidity, unless you're well protected.
Yeah, you're going to want to be, if you're going to have a project here this weekend, you're going to want to work in the shady side of the house, let's put it that way.
And have mm-hmm. a lot of hydration available.
Yeah, it you know, and we had such good working weather the last couple weeks now, so hopefully everybody got ahead of the work, so to speak, and they can enjoy this weekend in the air conditioning or out doing something different and then pick up on the gardening. It's actually come Tuesday, Wednesday next week. It's supposed to get back to more seasonal temperatures.
Yeah,
I think.
Back in the 80s, by Thursday, 78 for a high.
Yeah, so that's probably the average around this time of year, mm-hmm. 78 to 79, 80. So that's kind of right where we'd expect to be.
And if their forecast is right, we got a chance for some showers, mainly, well, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But it looks like the main opportunity will be Tuesday night into Wednesday.
Yeah, and it was kind of a, you know, the last 2 weeks were kind of interesting in a way because it rain. Usually when you get rain in middle of June to in July and August, things like that, you get those thunderstorms. They call for rain, but it rains and by 9 or 9:30 in the morning, the sun's back out and, you know, back to baking things off. Or we get the late afternoon thunderstorms, mm-hmm. things like that. But, you know, there was one day this past week and one day the week before where we're sending people that work outdoors home because it was raining, you know, at it started raining at 8, 9, 10 in the morning and rained till 2 or 3 in the afternoon. And yeah, and I was talking to Craig at Touch the Earth, and I said, can you remember that ever happening 2 weeks in a row where we sent crews home during the, you know, during the day, it, you know, here in June and July? It's just rather unusual. You might get one day here and there, but it seldom really happens. You think, you know, as much as it rains, but, you know, for us that really spend our day working, you know, scheduling outdoor work and things like that, it doesn't happen really very often where you send the guys home because it was actually raining all day long. So those are some good, you know, some good beneficial rains. Mm-hmm. You know, on the other hand, you know, now you get, hasn't rained the last couple days, and with this hot weather coming up here over the next three days for sure, you know, you're going to have to kind of get back to doing some watering here either over the weekend or early next week. So,
and again, early in the day is best before the sun is at its warmest, huh?
Yeah, it works best always, you know, if you get water on the foliage and then that's hot sun is out, you'll actually get some like leaf burn where it acts like a magnifying glass, mm-hmm. where with the water droplets on leaves and then that hot sun shining on them, you'll get kind of some black spots, some burn. So that's why generally early morning, and you kind of reduce the chances of fungus because again, the sun comes out and dries things up and burns those, you know, potential spores back when it's hot and dry like it does get. If you're watering in the evening, late afternoon, then that water is just sitting there puddling, and that's when things can start going haywire.
All right, 923-1450, lines are open. If you have a question or got some plans or whatever, landscaping, lawn, garden, I don't imagine you're doing a lot of tree planting right now, are you, with the heat?
Well, we do some tree planting. We kind of just almost never stop, although we have to take a break a little bit. And we did stop. We didn't plant anything the last couple of days, just kind of with anticipating the hot, you know, hot, dry 3-day forecast. But, you know, come early next week, we'll start in with some more plantings.
All righty. We got a call.
Oh, fantastic.
Good morning, you're on the air.
Yes, I got a question. I got these Japanese beetles, and I sprayed neem oil. Now, are they going to, is that a repellent or a killer?
Neem oil, that's going to be more of a repellent. I don't think you're going to kill Japanese beetle with neem oil. Out at Radiman's, once you see Japanese beetle, and right now they're kind of just starting to emerge from the ground, and so you're going to want to spray those. Out at Radiman's, we've got a product called 8, as in the number 8.
Okay.
And that's going to be your best product right now to actually kill the Japanese beetles. We also have an annual tree and shrub that you put on the ground. But it's a now you've kind of missed the season for that, and that's more of a soil drench that you'd put around trees. But yeah, I had a couple calls this week, and from one of my good gardener friends, Cindy Lutenberger, she sent me some pictures, and they were actually in Fond du Lac. There was some Japanese beetle, and that's the first I've really seen or heard of Japanese beetle in Fond du Lac now. So where are you from?
St. Cloud.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and we've kind of seen it in the perimeter areas of Fond du Lac, but sometimes in Fond du Lac, the soils are just a little heavier. They have a little bit tougher time. But yeah, like out in St. Cloud or Lemira and over towards Rip and Rosendale, we've seen Japanese beetle. And right now, you want to be on the alert to look for them because, boy, when they get going, it's just a matter of a day or two, and your tree will be defoliated. Because when they come out, they come out in by the millions.
I seen that last year. Yes. Uh-huh. I put this Grubex on, but I'm still, and maybe maybe they're not as bad as last year.
Yeah, they might just be getting started yet. But if you did like that, something like a Grub X, that would help too. And
this drench that you talked about, does that kill the grub, or does that go in the tree and kill the beetles through the foliage?
No, you put that around the wherever your beetle infestation is, or where they're coming out of the ground, or where you're seeing them. You know, generally what we do is kind of put it around the base of a tree, because that'll prevent them from hatching and I guess it's called hatching. the adult Japanese beetle lay those eggs in the ground, and then they turn into larvae and then turn into beetles, and then they come out of the ground and then basically, you know, go to your tree and attack your tree. So out at Raderman's, we have a product. It's called Annual Tree and Shrub, and then you mix that with water and you pour it right on the ground, and that either knocks out the infestation. If it doesn't do it completely, it knocks it down enough where at least they aren't a problem, and then you can kind of watch for them in your yard in that area next year and put more of that same product down. But that won't work anymore now. Now you have to literally spray the beetles, or spray them if you see them on the ground, it's easiest to spray them as they're emerging out of the ground. And that you'd use our product called 8. So the annual tree and shrub won't work anymore right now on those. That you have to do, usually the best time to put that down is late fall or early spring, but we've kind of found the best time to put it down is late fall, and that kind of gets it in there, and it works its way through the soil over the winter months, and it's there to knock those larvae out as they're growing and developing here over the last month or so now. So yeah, it's a very timely question. So,
well, good luck with your beetle project.
So, yeah, thanks for the call.
I think he left because he wasn't talking anymore. I don't know if I've ever... What does a Japanese beetle look like? Are they black? Are they long? Are they short? Are they tiny?
Yeah,
are
they kind of look like a June beetle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're that big?
Yeah, they're pretty big. They're not quite as big as a June beetle, but they're... And they are voracious eaters, and they... And you don't see one. If you see one, it's like the tip of the iceberg.
Do they have any particular preference, or do they just go, if it's got green leaves, they're going to eat it?
Well, they don't seem to bother maples so much. We've seen it more on lindens and on elms.
Hmm.
So, you know, that might be their first choice, I guess. And as I've never seen any of them in the nursery. You know, we don't have the problem. So part of that, if I have the problem, I'm a lot better versed on it. So it's kind of more what I've heard or what I've seen, mm-hmm. and seen pictures. But, you know, when you start to see them, you know, they'll go after, you know, they'll kind of skeletonize the tree. They'll just eat the leaf and kind of leave the veins, so to speak.
A little picky.
Yeah. So they'll, all of a sudden your tree, it'll look like it's turning brown, but what it is they've eaten all the green off, and they've kind of left the veins there, and that'll, so you kind of don't have the green look to it again.
Does the tree eventually die then, or is it just look awful until the next season?
Well, it could die. It usually doesn't the first year, because what'll happen, but it kind of throws them out of sync a little bit, because what'll happen is once you defoliate a tree in early July, it'll start to regrow again yet. So then you'll get all this kind of new growth towards the end of August, you know, middle or end of August again. And, of course, then we have to have a kind of a late enough fall for it to harden back off. So that's why it doesn't usually kill the tree per se. But if it would, it could stress it to a point where if it's actively growing in late August and September, then we'd have a hard freeze, say, in late September already. And typically we don't, but we could.
Could happen. It's Wisconsin.
It could happen. So that's when the damage would occur then, is if the tree doesn't have a chance to kind of get back into its usual, you know, spring, summer, fall cycle of leafing out and releafing is what causes the potential problem. So that's why it usually doesn't really kill the tree, because usually as it starts growing again in July and August, winter doesn't, if, you know, we don't get that early shutdown, but okay, you know, we could. So,
yeah. Well, before we take our break, we should introduce the other voice that you just heard, Master Gardener Joe. Good morning.
Good morning.
She snuck right in here on us.
Did. Yes, I have no excuse. I overslept.
That's a good reason.
You're supposed to say you were out watering this morning.
Yeah.
Oh,
just,
well, that's on
and
my.
You wanted to get that all done before
list.
You made it in.
Yes.
So. All right, let's take our first little pause here.
Sure, we'll take a little break. One thing we do have to reiterate once again is Radiman's is not open today. So don't go 3 miles south of Fond du Lac. Well, you could go, if you go 3 miles south of Fond du Lac, you'll get ice cream at Kelly's Country Creamery today.
One of the top 10 in the nation.
Yeah, that was an interesting point. So anyway, we're right down the road from Kelly's. So next Saturday, visit us both.
Or during the
Today's
week.
Business environment demands that you stand out from the crowd. At National Exchange Bank and Trust, we offer products and services to help you do just that. Our knowledgeable commercial lenders will partner with you to evaluate the unique needs of your business and provide you with the ultimate business solution. Our independence is your greatest asset. Learn more at NEBAT.com. National Exchange Bank and Trust, serving businesses in Wisconsin since 1933. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Brock Radiman with Radiman Stone and Landscape. As the first member of our fourth generation family-owned business, I'm proud to carry on the tradition of providing quality stone products to Fond du Lac and the surrounding areas. Adding Radiman's natural landscape stone to your backyard will embellish your outdoor living areas. We also offer natural thin and full veneer stone for indoor applications such as fireplaces or outdoor applications to combine with or replace your siding or brick. Radiman Stone and Landscape, where we have the materials to do the best work on earth.
On our first date, we had masks on and kept 6 feet apart. Now, we're a lot closer.
Just like Cliff and Deb, thousands of singles over 50 found their perfect match on Silver Singles last year.
I feel like I'm 20 years old again, and I'm pretty sure she feels the same way.
Rediscover the magic of dating with Silver Singles, the exclusive community for singles over 50. Sign up today and receive daily matches you won't want to miss at silversingles.com/radio. silversingles.com/radio.
This is a big deal. Now, at healthcare.gov, millions more people can afford health coverage. Due to the COVID relief law, 4 out of 5 customers can get a plan for under $10 a month with financial help. From doctor visits to preventive services to prescription drugs, these are quality plans. You can do this. You can have coverage as soon as August 1st if you sign up now at healthcare.gov. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
KVISA News Time, 8:29. Lines are open. This is Landscape Smart, brought to you by Radiman Stone and Landscape Company. Joe is here, Master Gardener. Ron is here, and you are there, so make some calls. And we've got a couple coming in, so let's go right back to the phones. And they gave up on that line, so we'll talk to them on this line. They gave up on that line, too. 923-1450. Hi. Was that you on the other two lines?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I got a question for Ron about the ash borer. Mm-hmm. How do we stand with the war on that? It killed mostly all the ash trees. Are we done with it, or is it going to go on? And the reason I'm asking is I got some young ones coming up in my yard, and I'd like to transplant them, but I don't want to do it if it's a waste of time. Okay.
Yeah, it probably is a waste of time. What we're going to actually end up seeing with emerald ash borer, now this is my personal opinion, But there's the wave that kind of comes through. And then, of course, these young trees are, they're okay because Emerald Ash Borer kind of needs the furrows in the bark to get in there to lay their eggs. So as the trees mature and they get more furrows in the bark, then the Emerald Ash Borer will attack them again. So what's going to happen, like with these smaller trees like what you have there, they're going to be fine for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years, you know, and about the time they get to be a nice tree, then they're going to be susceptible to the Emerald Ash Borer again. And I don't really see it going away because there's just so many ash that are kind of regrowing already as you kind of go out into the woods and things like that where you've seen them kind of wipe out all the large trees. There's a lot of small ones coming on, so the next generation of Emerald Ash Borer is just going to go after the smaller ones once they get big enough again. So I can't really see us ever getting ahead of it until what'll happen is there will, and you can bet that they're working on it already, there will be some new varieties of ash that are that the Emerald Ash Borer will not like. And so, you know, you can kind of be on the alert. It's kind of the same way right now, you know, with the new hybrid elms that we have. You know, the first, when Dutch elm disease came through and it wiped out all the elms, you know, then we kind of came back through. Like now we have all these new varieties of elm that are resistant to Dutch elm disease. And so the same thing will probably happen with ash. So, you know, the chances of you having the one ash out of a million that doesn't, isn't, you could take your chances and, you know, maybe you're the one. You'd be a millionaire if you could come up with one.
I'm 73 years old. I don't have that much time.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, even at my age, I don't think there's, by the time the tests and the everything comes through, you know, it's probably going to be 20 years from now before it's safe to plant ash again. And like I said, then there'll be some new hybridized strain. And like I said, you can bet the plant breeders are working on it. They're trying, I can guarantee you that. But they won't really know either until the trees that they're experimenting with are large enough. So they almost got to be 10-year-old trees before you'll even find out if they're susceptible or not vulnerable to Emerald Ash Borer. So yeah, I wouldn't waste my time. I'd pick up a different tree and, you know, a maple, a new hybrid elm, you know, anything but an ash right now.
All right, well, thank you.
All righty, yep. I guess you say you can kiss your ash goodbye. Have a good fourth.
Yeah, you guys too. Thank you.
Care. Thanks for the call. 923-1450. The lines are open. Correct me if I'm wrong, though. Quick question. Didn't it take decades to come up with an elm that replaced the old elms?
I was going to ask that because the city came and cut down all our terrace ash trees, and one of the trees we could choose was an elm. And that I'm trying to remember back when all the elm trees were cut down. I was surprised to hear that.
Well, and Dutch elm disease kind of came through in the 50s. It started in the 50s,
quite a while ago.
And by the 60s, it was pretty prevalent, and even into the 70s, when I first started planting small trees to turn into big trees to sell, you know, to homeowners or other contractors. It was around 1980 when I got when we started planting these new varieties of hybrid elm. And the first ones we planted, they were disease resistant, but they were junk trees. You know, mm-hmm. they had bad crotches. They were subject to elm leaf beetle. They were resistant, or they didn't get Dutch elm disease, but they just weren't good shade trees. So we planted some, we sold some, we sold a lot of them, usually mostly to municipalities that were just looking for different species other than maples and mm-hmm. ash mm-hmm. to plant. So most of those initial trees went to municipalities. And then about 10 years later, they took those varieties and they continued to hybridize them and cross them. And then they came out like with the what I call the second generation of the hybrid elms, and the Chicago Botanical Garden had a real good one called Accolade, and that was to me the first good. And the Arboretum in Madison too. They had a pretty good breeding program, and that's where a lot of these came from. And so the Accolade was, and then Accolade they crossed that with some other ones, and they came up with one called Triumph. And the city of Fond du Lac plants a lot of Triumph elm, and that's, you know, kind of the third generation of these new hybrid elms. Hmm. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, now what is, we've been growing Triumph elm for about 15 years, so, you know, that's almost 50 years in the making.
Yeah. So it's probably going to be the same thing like you were saying with the ashes.
So that's why, you know, our 73-year-old friend and myself and pretty much the three of us in this room aren't going to probably see that day mm-hmm. when they come up with the new.
Except Joel, she's young.
Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, younger than us, but anyway, I think we're a long ways off yet. You know, and in trees, you can't just, you know, if you don't like a petunia, you pick a different one. It's different the next year. But with trees, you don't really want to, you know, bank on one, plant one in right in the middle of your front yard, and then about the time it gets to be a nice tree 15 years from now, you're starting over again. So mm-hmm. you kind of want to be sure before you plant, when you plant trees. It's not like when you're planting perennials, and if you don't like it, you can replace them rather quickly.
Or a tomato. Mm-hmm. Morning, you're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, thank you. For the third year in a row, I have two endless summer hydrangea, and they do not blossom. They're really big, but they don't blossom. So I cut them down last fall. The fall before that, I did not cut them down. But last fall, I cut them down. I thought, okay, maybe I should be cutting them down. But they're one of them is at least 3 feet tall, very, very green, but it doesn't have any promise of blossoms. What am I doing wrong?
Well, that's a tough one. Is it?
It's still a little early right now.
Yeah, it is.
You know, one of the problems is, you know, when you drive by the box stores that have, you know, endless summer hydrangea, those were started back out a month earlier than what, because they want them flowering in May and early June, so when people are there looking. So you got to remember that if you have an endless summer in your yard in Wisconsin, it takes until the end of July for it to get through its whole cycle.
However, there's no even start of any buds on it.
And you said it's been a couple years hasn't.
Right, it hasn't blossomed for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds, yeah, I mean, if it's 3 feet tall, it's that's a better than most hydrangeas, so you're getting plenty of new growth on it.
Is it getting enough sunlight? That would be another.
Well, one is on the south side of the house, and the other one on the west side. They get sun probably, there are trees in front of our house, but they get sun probably, maybe 6 hours a day.
Yeah, and that's plenty of sun for,
right,
for endless summer.
Enough sun.
And even filtered sunlight is fine for an endless summer.
Right.
I can't really tell you that. I wouldn't tell you to. And if it's that large, you sure don't need to fertilize it because
right.
it's growing well.
Right. Maybe some of our listeners have an idea. I don't have, you know, if it's getting sun and it's growing.
Because I have I have some of the real old-fashioned hydrangeas in the yard,
right.
and you know, the big white ones. And
they're beautiful.
And they're beautiful, and they're in blossom already.
Yeah,
I wonder if you're over-fertilizing it.
Well, last year I gave it some aluminum sulfate a couple times, but it does nothing.
Yeah, and that would acidify the soil. It wouldn't actually grow,
and
help it grow.
That would be to make your blossoms whatever color.
It would turn them more blue.
Is it blue? I never remember which one.
Does it look pretty? I mean, are the leaves like real dark green and
They look very healthy. I mean, they're really healthy looking.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess all I would say is it might be just doing so well that it's growing. You know what endless summer or the hydrangeas need to do is they need to grow, and then they kind of stop growing and start flowering. And if they continue to grow and grow and grow, they're not going to set flowers. So you may be over caring for it. You know, if it's growing that much, I mean, I've never seen an endless summer get to 3 feet tall.
I was going to say I'm not a fan of endless summer.
I'm ready to dig it up because I'm sick of looking at this great big, you know, green thing.
That doesn't do anything.
It doesn't do anything, and although the foliage is pretty, it's like, well, I'd like a few blossoms here. What kind do you suggest?
Well, the endless summer, there's several different varieties that we call like in that endless summer family, and those should be good plants. You know, I've tried a
couple, and I've not had good luck with them. That's what.
Well,
I
but
said
it's
that.
More the other way around, though. If, you know, the people that have problems with them are the ones they're kind of, you know, freezing out, and if you don't, they should really be mulched and things like that.
This is definitely not freezing out. It's just growing like crazy. Mm-hmm. both of them are, and it's like, what do I put on this? First I thought about cutting it back. Maybe I should cut this whole thing back.
Don't do that now. I think you got to just wait it out yet. It's got to, it might just be a little too early, but I don't know why it didn't flower last year, though.
Did you trim it in the fall?
I did. Once I trimmed it in the fall, and the next time I trimmed it in the spring.
Because I was going to say maybe it, if you trimmed it in the fall, you trimmed all the buds that were set. But when
but
you try
with endless
trimming
summer,
it in the
that wouldn't,
spring.
Yeah, they're, you know, trimming those in the fall is really the best, or a real early spring. Because endless summer, as they grow, they set flowers. They flower on their new growth. So typically, the more new growth you get, the more flowers, theoretically, you should get. So you're getting all the new growth. But I just think it might be too early yet. I think you got to just...
I think you'd have some sign of some buds on there or something.
Yeah, you should be starting to see some buds setting. Mm-hmm.
Can't see a thing.
But like I said, in Wisconsin, you know, the endless summers and those varieties in your yard, they're going to flower more towards late July and August. You know, they don't flower as early as they do at the garden center.
Sign of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
Hang on the line. You're actually our secret caller this morning, so Jerry's going to get your information there.
So you may not get flowers, but you might get lucky.
Yeah.
Okay,
if you win,
you
can get some fertilizer, but don't use it on your hydrangea.
Hang tight. I'll put you on hold here. Don't go away. And we got to take a break.
Wow, break time. Zipping right by here today.
It is.
All right, Radiman's is not open today. Radiman's is not open on Monday. So if you're starting your gardening project, you're going to have to wait and start it on Tuesday. And then Radiman's will get you a delivery yet on Tuesday or Wednesday. You can give them a call, 920-922-7612. Like I said, open, starting again on Tuesday.
Our lines are open.
A reputation for being the best, the toughest zero-turn mower ever made doesn't come easy. It's earned by outworking, outperforming, and outdoing with horsepower, handling, and versatility. Introducing Bobcat Zero-Turn Mowers. Bring tough to turf. Buy a new Bobcat mower. Get 0% APR for up to 48 months and rebates up to $500. Miller Implement and Pro Motorsports of Fond du Lac. Online at workhardplayhard.net.
Hi, I'm Brock Rademan with Rademan Stone and Landscape. As the first member of our fourth generation family-owned business, I'm proud to carry on the tradition of providing quality stone products to Fond du Lac and the surrounding areas. Adding Rademan's natural landscape stone to your backyard will embellish your outdoor living areas. We also offer natural thin and full veneer stone for indoor applications such as fireplaces, or outdoor applications to combine with or replace your siding or brick. Rademan Stone and Landscape, where we have the materials to do the best work on earth.
Today's business environment demands that you stand out from the crowd. At National Exchange Bank and Trust, we offer products and services to help you do just that. Our knowledgeable commercial lenders will partner with you to evaluate the unique needs of your business and provide you with the ultimate business solution. Our independence is your greatest asset. Learn more at NEBAT.com. National Exchange Bank and Trust, serving businesses in Wisconsin since 1933. Member FDIC.
Have you ever wondered, how can I save money better? It's hard to save money, and even harder to see that money grow with all the fees and requirements that banks have. This year, make the switch to Fond du Lac Credit Union. Whether you're saving for a new car, your first home, retirement, or just tucking away cash for a rainy day, we've got you covered. Not sure where to start? Our member consultants work with you to provide personalized saving options. Plus, ask about our Saver Sweepstakes account, where you'll get a chance to win money every month. Make saving easy this year and watch your money grow. Visit FDLCU.com or give us a call at 920-921-1123. Fond du Lac Credit Union is federally insured by the NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
We open doors for you. Fond du Lac Credit, Fond du Lac Credit Union.
Whiter wheat, classic or old-fashioned. With or without sesame seeds. With so many choices, selecting the right bun for perfectly grilled burgers, hot dogs, and brats can seem overwhelming. Baked right here in the Midwest, the Bakers at Village Hearth made your choice easy. As long as you see the familiar Village Hearth logo on the package, you know you're selecting the freshest, most flavorful buns available. Village Hearth Buns, baking our best for you.
KFI's News Time, 8:48. We are back. This is Landscape Smart, brought to you by Rademan Stone and Landscape Company. The lines are open, 923-1450, 1-888-900-1450. If you got a question, now is the time, with only about 11 and a half minutes left.
Yep, call now.
Or wish you did.
Or wish you did.
Yeah.
Or wait till next week.
Yeah. Of course, if you're out gardening.
That's right.
Pulling weeds.
This is the season of weeding.
Not eating yet.
Not eating yet. Yep. Nothing's quite ready. Actually, I have picked some zucchini.
Really?
I have. They're beautiful.
I didn't. We didn't plant them this year.
Oh, I know. I love zucchini.
And
but
I don't.
I know you get a lot of them.
I like them if
them.
You get them early enough. You know.
Yeah, the little ones.
Yeah.
The small ones. Yeah.
Yeah. Hi, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I have a mandevilla plant that I saved over winter, so this would be the second year, but it's not blossoming. Is there something I can do?
Did you bring it back outside now and put it
in
the sun?
It's been outside. How much sunlight should that get?
It can take all the sun that you can get to it.
Oh, okay. Maybe that's the problem. It's partially sun, partial shade.
It likes sun. I would fertilize it. Did you cut it back a little bit?
I didn't. I probably should have. But.
Yeah. And you can still do that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's really growing now. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would trim it back, fertilize it, and make sure it gets lots of sun.
Okay, I'll try it. Thank
All
you
right.
very much.
Thanks sure. for the call. 923-1450. Lines are open.
Yeah, if you can get it grow, you know, you got to get that new growth going again, and
right.
So that's where if you nip it back a little bit, and the fertilizer always helps, because there again, it's you got to get the growth before you're going to get the flowers.
And it's a tropical plant, so it can take lots of sun and lots of water.
Wants both.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe wait until Monday or Tuesday to move it into the sun.
Unless you're going to be out there.
Leave it where you have it for these next three hot days.
Make sure you're watering it. You might, mm-hmm. And also yeah. You're not just the mandevilla, but, excuse me, any of your pots that you have and hanging baskets the next couple days, make sure that you watch them and water when they need watering. You might be watering twice a day if it gets really hot and dry.
Well, it's going to be dry and it's going to be hot, so that's kind of narrows that down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It certainly does, at least for a couple days here. Mm-hmm. 923-1450. Lines are open.
We could go back and kind of the caller right before the break, she was asking about like some of the other varieties of hydrangea. And, you know, if you've got enough sun, and you have to remember that the big leaf hydrangeas, they kind of need a little more shade, where the PG varieties of hydrangea, they need more sun. And the more sun, the better, actually, on the PG varieties. Those are the PG varieties are more of the cone-shaped flowers. And I would, you know, generally I would say those are a little more reliable for flowers. And they generally get a little bit bigger, but there are some dwarf varieties now, compact varieties of the PG hydrangeas too. The kind of my favorite one currently there's new ones they're coming out with every day, but the one called Bobo.
Yes.
Bobo is kind of the best of those. And they're like more like knee high or thigh high is all the bigger they'll get. And you shear those flower tips off in the fall or early spring. And then when it shoots back out and flowers out, you'll seldom see it, you know, much above knee high or thigh high, two to three, not even 3 feet, more 2 foot or 2.5 foot is about all you'll get out of them. They'll get a little wider than that, but that's a good one, and they're very reliable for flowers. They do need sun, though, and there are some other good varieties of those cone-shaped flowered hydrangeas, the PG varieties.
Okay.
So we better get to our caller.
And we are. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm glad we could get a hold of you.
I got a stand of pine trees, and I had this little look like a tree that was coming up in the middle of them. My wife thought, hey, it'd be a good idea to transplant that. Well, when I went out to transplant it, I found out it very well may have been buckthorn. And so I cut it down, and now all of a sudden I got 5 sprouts coming back out of that stump area. What's the best way to kill that off?
Well, out at Radiman's, we have a product called Tordon.
Yep.
And that's the best one. Yeah, what you want to do then is saw that off, and then just if you have like a foam brush, or you can put it in like a small spray bottle, Windex type bottle, and then just you have to spray that on that stump right after you make the cut, and then that'll kill that off.
Oh, okay.
And that's
because I didn't need more of them coming back.
Yeah, well,
and
that's
they
what,
will.
And they will. Yeah, you really have to, you know, do it that way. And if you don't get after them, you'll have them all over the place because they, when they seed out,
the birds get them, and
then they
everywhere.
Just keep getting. Yeah, they'll go everywhere. So yeah, saw it off, you know, and then apply that Tordon to the stump. That'll That'll do it.
Okay. Okay, good. Yep. Thanks for it. Yep. Bye-bye.
Mike, thanks for the call. Now you got an answer. Okay, we got another caller, so let's hit the phones again. Morning, you're on the air.
Good morning. I have some maples that have white blotches on the bark. It looks like I can't describe it except to say it looks like a small Band-Aid, like a horizontal stretch with a white-looking plaque or something on the bark. Do you have any ideas what is happening there? Is that a fungus or some other type of issue?
Sounds to me like it would be a fungus that's, you know, is it, how big are these trees?
The trees are about 25 feet tall, maybe an 8-inch diameter trunk. They're they've been around for a while, and I don't see problems with leaves, that type of thing.
Yeah, it sounds to me like that's more of a fungus. And, you know, on a larger tree like that, what's happening, of course, is they're shading, you know, it's not getting any sunlight on there, and that's why you're getting that fungus growth. Is it something you really need to be concerned about? Probably not. You know, I would, as long as the overall health of the tree looks good, I'm sure that it's really not bothering it. It's probably more just of a superficial fungus growing on the outer layer of the trunk, you know, outer layers of bark. So I don't think it's anything that would really hurt the tree. So if the rest of the tree looks good and healthy and you're not seeing, you know, anything else, then I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, we have fungicides available out at Radiman's. You could spray that on there if you wanted to do one and see how it worked. If it, you know, then you'd, but I don't think it's anything really to worry about. I wouldn't. If my tree had it at home, I wouldn't bother spraying it, at least until the health of the tree looked like it was being affected.
All so, right. Thank you.
All righty. Thanks for the call. 923-1450. Got a couple minutes left. If you have a question, now would be probably the ideal time to call, just like this party. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. I have a clematis plant. In the first 2 years, it bloomed, and now the last 2 years, it doesn't do anything. It's just like brown sticks. Should I just pull it out, get rid of it?
There's no green leaves?
Nope,
there's
nothing.
It's gone, and plant something new.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's done for. Yeah, if you didn't have any leaves on it last year and you still don't have any leaves this year, there's no...
No hope.
No hope. No. Nope.
You can, it's gone.
You can move on. You can safely move on. Let's put
plant
it that way.
Plant something else that you enjoy, or plant another clematis that you enjoy. There's just beautiful ones out there.
Yeah, there is. There's so many of them, but I just want to plant another one and it dies on me.
Understandable.
Do you have clematis available at Hensie's, Joe?
Yes.
Okay, there's a little plug.
There's a source for you.
Okay, I'll have to check it out.
Joe works part-time at Hensie's, so she puts her knowledge to work every day. Well, not every day, but most days.
Days that I work.
Days that you Those work, days, at least, yeah.
Alrighty, good luck with it.
So, okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Alrighty, we are going to be out of time because the closing theme is going to kick
it's
in here in seconds.
Going to start singing to us. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll just remind everybody, Radiman's is not open today, not open tomorrow, not open Monday, none of the 3 days. So we'll open back up on Tuesday morning early. I guess other than that,
call Tuesday.
Call Tuesday.
Get your deliveries.
And then we'll be back next Saturday.
Yes, we will.
So.
Same time, same place. Thank you so much for joining us today for this week's edition of Landscape Smart. Brought to you by Radiman Stone and Landscape Company each and every Saturday morning, 8 till 9. Jerry Schneider is up next. Would imagine he'll have a patriotic polka or two today. Maybe even more. Never know. Anyhow, we'll be back next Saturday with another Landscape Smart. Have yourselves a great holiday weekend. KFIZ Fond du Lac. 9 o'clock.